This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 376, up 7. March corn, 389 and 3 quarters, up 7 and 3 quarters. May corn, 398 and a quarter, up 7 and 3 quarters. January soybeans, 1010 and a half, up 12 and a quarter. March soybeans, 1017 and a quarter, up 12. May soybeans, 1023 and 3 quarters, up 11 and a half. December wheat, 599 and 3 quarters, up 2 and 3 quarters. March wheat, 589 and 3 quarters, up a quarter. May wheat, 595, down a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended higher on Thursday afternoon. Favorable exports added firmness to the row crop prices on Thursday. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 12 cents higher at 343 to 372. Soybean bids were up 12 to 16 cents at 978 to $10 even. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 7 to 10 higher at 350 to 375. Soybean bids were up 12 to 16 cents at 982 to 1024. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 8 cents at 355 to 379. Soybean bids 12 to 15 stronger at 991 to 1033, with the wheat bids steady to a nickel higher at $5 to 570. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 12 to 17 higher on Thursday, ranging from 1016 to 1026. Basis steady to 5 cents higher, ranging from 5 to 15 over the January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of 420.70 to 430.70. That's up $4.60 per ton, with basis unchanged at 35 to 45 over December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 7 to 9 cents stronger at 380 to 387, with basis mixed range from 10 to 3 under the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids up 6 to 8 cents at 372 to 376, with basis steady to 2 cents lower at 18 to 14 under the March. Soybeans ended 12 cents higher at 1023 to 1029, with basis steady range from 12 to 18 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 2 to 9 cents stronger at $4 up to 406. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 12 to 15 cents, with quotations at 1059 to 1061. Soft red winter wheat steady on Thursday at $5.90 to $6 even, while the Milo was up 8 cents at $4.45 to $4.50. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from $3.60 to $3.88. New crop soybean bids range from $9.37 to $9.56. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 373 to 388. New crop soybean bids at 946 to 961. In the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 346 up to 388. New crop soybean bids at 920 to 961. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 544 up to 569. That completes our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 166.45, down 40 cents. February live cattle, 166.97, down 15 cents. April live cattle, 166.45, down 40 cents. January feeder cattle, 235.95, up $1.12. March feeder cattle, 232.05, up 15 cents. April feeder cattle, 232.55, down 30 cents. December lean hogs, 87.62, down 42 cents. February lean hogs, 86.62, down 25 cents. April lean hogs, 88.45, up 30 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture, bringing you Wednesday the 3rd's afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 47 cents lower in the range of $81 to $87, with a weighted average carcass price of $85.43. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady to a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds were 59 to 65, 4 to 5 weights 62 to 68, 5 to 6 weights were 64 to 70, and 6 weights and up 65 to 72. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $55 up to $62. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 11,726 head. And now, starting with the report from the Fairview Sale Barn, they had receipts of 511 head. Starting with choice slaughter steers, they were 156 to 169.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers were 143. And choice slaughter heifers were 158 to 164.25. They also have a special bred cow sale. Starting with the medium and large young second stage, were 14.50 to 25.50. Large second stage young, 18.50 to 3,300. Large second stage middle age, 1,750 to 2,800. And large third stage young were 1,500 to 3,200. Large third stage middle age were 1,850 to 2,800. Now moving on to United Producers Auction in Shelbyville. Their choice slaughter steers were 168 to 176. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 155 to 158.50. And choice slaughter heifers, 168 to 175. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 427 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $91.96, and that was 20 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses, $256.41, that was a nickel higher, with select carcasses at $241.78, that was $1.88 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at $106,000. That compared to $115,000 last week and $122,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at $428,000. That compared to $419,000 last week and $435,000 a year ago. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Much of the focus of the EPA's proposed Waters of the U.S. rule has been on how it will affect row crop farmers. But Illinois livestock farmers are at risk for falling under the watch of EPA's suggested rule in ways not previously thought of due to some changes in the state-level pollution rules. Agriculture engineer working as consultant to the Illinois Pork Producers Association, Ted Funk, went over how all these new rules could come together.
Well, you need to understand a couple of things. One, the Waters of the U.S. rule may very well affect some livestock operations. And at the same time, in Illinois, we've just completed a rulemaking by the Illinois Pollution Control Board on the 501 and 502 regulations, which affect all livestock operations in the Part 501. And Part 502 is the permit rules. So the Illinois Pollution Control Board, in its rulemaking, has put in some little changes on definitions and things, which, along with the Waters of the U.S. rule, may affect what constitutes a discharge from a facility. And those discharges, in general, are not permitted, not allowed from livestock facilities. So producers have to know what's going to be a discharge and what isn't.
Funk provided an example of how exactly interaction between the Waters of the U.S. rule and Illinois EPA pollution rules could play out with vegetative filters.
One of the ones that's very interesting is the conclusion by Illinois EPA that the medium-sized operations are no longer allowed to have part of their operation. Let's say it's a small outside feedlot serving a small portion of the facility. to have what we call a vegetative filter to treat feedlot runoff. If it was only a small facility, that is under 300 animal units, then they're allowed and even encouraged by Illinois EPA to use a vegetative filter treatment system to take the feedlot runoff after a storm. And that vegetative filter, which is essentially a flat bottom waterway, will allow that stormwater to infiltrate and be treated and so on. But if you have a very large storm above the design value, then you'll have some polluted water runoff the far end of it. And if that can go to a receiving stream, in this case we would call it, you know, waters of the U.S., then that would constitute a discharge. If it's a medium-sized facility or larger, they're not allowed to do that. Even if that vegetative filter is only treating, let's say, you know, a feedlot that's got 100 cows on it, if the combined facility size is more than a 300 animal units, then they're not allowed to do that. So they're going to have to really look at these vegetative filter systems that we thought were okay before, and now we may have to make some serious changes on those systems.
Vegetative filters are not the only systems coming under scrutiny by the Illinois EPA. Funk listed off a few other practices livestock farmers will want to watch out for.
There are some new definitions on temporary manure stacks. So there's now a requirement in the Illinois regulation that you have to have either a cover or a pad or both for a temporary manure stack to prevent any leach in the groundwater or runoff to surface. So producers need to be more aware of that. It's some of that is common sense. That is, we don't want to pollute water with runoff or leaching from a temporary manure stack. But we also don't want to get hung up on spending a lot of money on a temporary manure stack because it is temporary. So we have to just understand what the requirement of the law is and what it is they're trying to prevent, that is, in terms of pollution. There are some other definitions now on manure spreaders, how we apply manure. So there are new definitions on what is injection, what is incorporation, and what is broadcast. Those could affect our selection of manure spreaders, manure application equipment. Another segment that could affect some, and that is the new regulations on winter manure spreading and spreading on frozen, snow-covered, or ice-covered ground. There are some severe restrictions on those kinds of activities, and the producers need to read those rules carefully if they're going to be in the situation where they have to spread manure in the winter.
One of the most important changes Funk says farmers are going to need to get used to is more record keeping.
Yeah, there will be some changes. For the smaller facilities where they weren't required to really pay that much attention to nutrient management plans in the past, I think it's really going to be important to get the record keeping processes streamlined and get their nutrient management plan in shape. For the large facilities, there's a requirement if they want to access what we call the agricultural stormwater exemption, that is, if you have a runoff from a farm field after you've applied manure to it, but you've applied it according to the plan that you have, if it's a bona fide nutrient management plan for the field where a discharge occurred, what you've got to do is be able to show on paper with your records and show that you actually followed your plan and so you did everything right and you still had a runoff due to a rainfall, due to a precipitation event. So that's going to be really important if they want that protection from the ag stormwater exemption. And all that ag stormwater exemption does is keep them from having to apply for the permit program. It doesn't actually protect them from a violation. That is, if there is a discharge, they could still be dinged on a violation by the Illinois EPA, but it's not as likely if you have your records in place and a good, strong nutrient management plan that shows you did everything right.
Livestock producers are not alone, though, when it comes to trying to navigate these new rules.
Well, there's several places. Of course, their commodity organizations are always a good place to start because they have resources, and in many cases, they can give the answer right away on some of the things, or they can locate people to help. University of Illinois Extension, of course, can help. They also can get access to the new regulations, that is the Illinois EPA regs, the 501, 502, at the Illinois Pollution Control Board website. So if they go to that website and scroll down to Title 35, regulations called agricultural-related pollution. Under Title 35, the 501 and 502 segments are there that can be easily downloaded, and then they can go through the fine print and see those definitions and new rules for themselves.
Again, that was agriculture engineer and consultant Ted Funk. Thanksgiving is over, December is here, and for many families, that means it's time to set up the Christmas tree. This is the busiest time of year for the Daniken Tree Farm near Greenville.
We've got 60 acres of trees versus the 2 acres of pumpkins and 2 acres of corn, so Christmas trees is really our main focus. We also won the state champion tree this year at the state fair and the reserve champion tree.
David Daniken says the family has been in the tree business for 46 years. On average, they sell about 5,000 to 6,000 trees a year of a few different varieties.
Well, we grow Scotch and white pine. Those are kind of the bread and butter trees that we can grow here. We also have a tree called cane and fir. It's one of the few fir trees that grow well around here, along with some Douglas fir. Spruce trees, we're starting to grow quite a few of those as well. Norway spruce and white spruce are kind of the main ones we do there. We also ship in trees from North Carolina, from Michigan, and all the way from Oregon as well. So we offer about as big a choice of selection as you can find anywhere.
But what makes Christmas trees different from any old pine tree? Daniken went through the process of growing the perfect Christmas tree.
As far as growing a quality tree, it starts with selecting good quality seedlings from the very beginning. Then there's about 10 steps each year that have to go right, and they have to go right for about 8 years in a row to end up with a really good tree. You got to have a straight tree, and we stake most of the trees that are out here with bamboo stakes to make sure they're straight. Once they get a little bigger, you have to prune around the bottom of them about year three to make sure that there's a big enough handle there to put your tree stand on. Once they get taller than that, you have to start shaping them. And there's almost an art form to shaping them to maintain a good quality looking tree. As the tree gets bigger, the shaping becomes more and more important. And we actually go through and make sure that the little point on top, that's called the leader, is nice and straight every year as well. A lot of time goes into that. Along with those, every year there's making sure the weeds stay down. There's making sure the bugs stay off of them. Tons of little things have to come together to make a good tree.
After all the hard work of making sure they're shaped up to be the best possible Christmas tree, they're ready to sell.
Well, the way the tree farm works is when you show up, you have the option of getting a pre-cut tree, which we've got usually between 400 and 500 trees already cut, standing up, displayed for you to choose from. And again, those are... You can choose from anything that we've grown here to anything we've shipped in from Michigan, Oregon, or North Carolina that we can't grow here. If you'd like to cut one of your own, we have wagons coming through our sales area about every 5 minutes, picking people up, taking them out to our 60 acres of tree fields and dropping them off. You walk through there, pick out your tree. Every tree that's for sale has got a price tag on it. It's pretty simple. You just walk till you find one you like, and we'll help you cut it down if you like. Or you can cut it yourself, and we provide the saws. We'll come back by, load your tree up, bring it back up. We shake the dead needles out of it, drill a hole for a tree stand. We bale it up so it's easy to handle, and we'll tie it on your car if you like. We sell about 500 wreaths a year in a retail setting. We offer grave blankets. We have a huge gift shop. Pretty much anything Christmas-related we've got.
Again, that was David Daniken of Daniken Tree Farm, located near Greenville. For more information on the Daniken Tree Farm, you can visit danikentreefarm.com. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.